Oh boy. Please, this morning I've got a special prayer request. God knows what it is. He knows who it is. I'm sure all of us and our families and our loved ones have names this morning you'd like to call out to the Lord. I've been calling this one out for some time now. Father, bless your holy word. Use this messenger, Lord, in the place that you've called me. This word is not of me, it is of thee. Father, I didn't write this book. You wrote it, Lord. Just give me grace to preach it now. In thy holy name, amen. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter number 20. Genesis chapter number 20. So many things began in the first book of the Bible as one of the themes of Scripture. One of the ways to study the Bible is to follow something all through the Bible and see what the Scripture says about it from cover to cover. Make sure you find out everything the Bible has to say about it, and always keep in mind that the Bible may not say everything that can be said about it, but what is revealed to us we accept as revelation from God. Genesis chapter number 20 and verse number 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah, and he was going to add her to his harem. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near to her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Father, bless your word in thy holy name. Amen. Now, if you notice carefully, and you get the context of what you're reading here, when Abimelech said, Lord, wilt thou also slay a righteous nation? What had just happened in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis? See this? Look at the chronology of it. God had just rained fire and brimstone down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain. Don't believe for one moment that something like that happened and the word didn't get out quickly. And of course it did. And Abimelech, Melech is king, Abi is father, king. So Abimelech, the king of Gerar, had taken Sarah because he thought, according to what Abraham had said, she was his sister. Now that's a half-truth. She was his half-sister. But in representing her, the fact that she was his wife far outweighed the fact that she was his half-sister. And he had a motive behind this. There was a reason that Abraham did what he did. And we'll try to look at that in a moment. But don't you notice carefully who we're talking about here now. We're not talking about somebody from Hey Boy Corner. We're talking about Abraham. He was called from Ur of the Chaldees as Abram. Then God added the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Hey. He added Hey to his name, and when he did, he became Abraham. So he was no longer just Abram or Avram, father. Now he became Avraham, high father. So God had elevated him to a very high position, a place of respect and authority. And yet here we find him lying. Now this is tough, isn't it? I mean, if you look at the heroes in the Word of God, you'll find the Bible does in no way ever try to cover up who and what they are. This is one of the reasons I believe the Bible. Amen. I believe it. And I believe the Bible because the Bible is a very relevant, down-to-earth book. This right here that happened was about 1,900 years before Christ. And so when this happened with Abraham, there was no priesthood. There was no Bible. There was no Pentateuch. Moses didn't live for another 500 years. No scripture. What they knew according to Psalm chapter number 19. It had been handed down to them. The knowledge of God had passed from generation to generation. But there was a knowledge of God that was essentially universal. Because if you'll notice, Abimelech understood that God is a righteous God. And he understood that he was accountable unto the Lord. And so this is what you read. But my point is this. Abraham lied about Sarah. And he lied about Sarah for some reason. And I wonder what that was. Have you ever really asked yourself the question, why would a man that God called in the book of Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 6? Here's what it says about Abraham in Galatians 3, 6. Look at this. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is the righteousness that comes by faith in the Lord God Almighty. Amen. He believed him. He's called aside for us to know that. If you notice in verse number 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So Abraham becomes a type in typology of the faithful who all who believe. I'm one of them. So in typology, Abraham is my father. This is a mighty high position. If you'll notice what it says in Abraham as it related to the Canaanite women around there for his son. He says, do not take of these women a wife for my son Isaac, but go off into the land of promise, to the land of God, and bring back a wife for him. So he was making good choices. In Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So here we have a man where God is going to bless through this man. What a thing to call a man aside and say that. Then in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, as though that the Lord Jesus Christ could have come from a compilation or from a gathering together of all of the faiths of the earth. Oh, no. The Lord Jesus Christ came from one faith, and that is the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And so we read of this in verse number 16. But as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Well, we know that Abraham was not physically the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But my dear friend, in typology he was. Now understand what I'm saying now. In typology, Abraham is a type of God the Father who brings forth the seed into the world. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6 and verse number 13 of Abraham. Notice carefully, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself. He's saying, I set you aside. I set you apart. There's not another like you, never will be, never has been. There's only one Abraham, and I came to an oath between God and Abraham, saying, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. Mark that down in your book today, my dear friend. I don't care which nation comes and which nation goes. It doesn't matter what college rises or what college falls. God will bless through Abraham, and he'll bless through the seed of Abraham. And through Abraham shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friend, came 2,000 years ago because of Abraham. And may I say to you this morning, the greatest blessing this earth has ever known was when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and there gave himself for us that we might be saved, and wrote our name down in the Lamb's book of life. Who did? There's only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And had there been no Abraham, there would have been no Son of God, according to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Who can stay his hand? None can, dear friend. None can. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 13, God sware by himself. Then in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 8, we read these words. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Mark that word. He went out not knowing whither he went. This is a pilgrim. This is a pilgrimage. This is following the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. This is not him trying to find the most pleasant place, the most accommodating place, the place that may look best to him. This is Abraham saying, Lord, I'm leaving my home. I'm leaving the comfort of my home.
I'm leaving the life that I've known, the only place I've ever been, and I'm going to follow you. I don't know a whole lot more. I need to know more about you. I don't know it yet, but I know this. I believe you, and I trust you, and I'm going to follow you. And he left his land. And when he did, God Almighty made note of that in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. Oh, that God calls. Yes, he does. So why did he lie about his wife, Sarah? I want to put you thinking this morning. Why did he lie? Here's a man of faith. Here's a man of obedience. Here's a man that trusts God. Here's a man that's given his life completely and totally to the Lord. Abraham, my friend, if you go to the Old Testament, who can you lift up higher than Abraham save Melchizedek? According to Hebrews chapter 7, the only one, the less is blessed to the greater. But we don't know a whole lot about Melchizedek. He's one of the strangest people that ever lived in the Bible. But Abraham is a wonderful man. So ask yourself a question this morning. Why? Where did this come from? What was Abraham's problem? You say, well, preacher, what was it? Well, let me say this. It's very possible that Abraham himself did not know what his problem was. It's very possible that what lay dormant deep within the soul of Abraham, only God knew. And it is very possible that since God's the only one that really knows the human heart and the soul of a man, that it's up to him to reveal to us what we're really made of. And it also puts us in the context of this, that we are completely and absolutely dependent upon the Lord to live for the Lord. Did you get that? He didn't save you and send you out and say, now find your way. Now here's the law. Here's the commandments. Live by this and you're going to be fine with God. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. Not at all. In the book of Romans chapter number 8, if you'll turn there with me. I'm trying to make a point, folks. I hope I can get it over. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 13. The Bible said, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Bible says in verse 15, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. What you'll find in the book of Romans chapter number 8 are the two natures. There are two things in the Bible. There are many more, but there are two things in the Bible that if you get them right, the Bible will open up for you like you wouldn't believe. What's that? That's the first and second coming of Christ. He came the first time to suffer. That made it plain to them, and he'll come the second time to reign. If you'll get the two natures, the old man and the new man, and you get that right, the Bible will open up for you like nothing else that you could ever imagine. You don't get them right and you'll be struggling with your own self-righteousness and work salvation, all the rest of that garbage, and you'll never, ever, ever grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. So the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 13, it says plainly that if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now look at verse number 26 of Romans chapter number 8. Likewise the Spirit, is it capitalized in your Bible? All right, that means that's the Holy Ghost. All right, Holy Ghost, pneuma, capital S. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Stenagmos is that Greek word, groanings. Stenagmos, what's that word mean? It means the groaning of the oppressed. It's the crying out, and the illustrations used of Israel when they were crying by reason of their sad sorrow that Pharaoh had brought down upon them, telling them to make more bricks with no straw. They had to gather it themselves. He put them through literal suffering and sorrow until they began to cry for a deliverer. And when you begin to cry for somebody higher than you, you begin to cry for somebody bigger than you. You begin to cry for somebody that's able to do something you can't do for yourself anymore. Then you're beginning to get to the point where God said, now you're coming to the point where you can walk with me and I can walk with you. Self-righteousness is sucking the life out of us. It's killing us. Pride is eating at our very soul. Amen. It's not that we have a little problem with pride. Pride is our problem. And it's eating us up. If you notice carefully, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Now I want you to notice what's going on here. The scripture says in verse number 26, we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you say something verbally, Satan's listening to what you say. He can hear every word you say, but he can't read your mind. And there's that blessedness of prayer we have with the Lord. When you enter into a point of prayer with God, when your soul begins to cry out to him in real need, amen. Do you find yourself, ask you a simple question. Have you found yourself crying into God and saying, Lord, I want to live for you, but I'm not sure exactly what's going on inside my soul. Show me. Help me. But you don't say it in words. He doesn't need your words. God's not deaf. You don't have to speak audibly. Just simply cry from the heart. And when you do that, you have got what's going on in Romans chapter number 8. For the Holy Spirit takes that and intercedes. In other words, you've got a direct channel. Chain of command we had in the military. Any guy in the military, you know what I'm talking about. You've got a chain of command. And the Holy Ghost is directly connected with God the Father. And he can carry that word directly to him. And when he does it in a fashion where Satan could never understand what's going on. He keeps it private and personal, sacred for you and God Almighty himself. It's important, though. This is important. This prayer to God is expressed inarticulately. In plain words, it's not expressed verbally or audibly. It's expressed from the crying forth of the soul of a man. And then he says in verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he hath intercession, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now look at this. This means that he is not only speaking to God in a fashion that Satan cannot understand, but in the same time there's a reciprocity, what's it called? Where between God the Father and the Holy Ghost, they're communicating back and forth like that. Are you listening? He's taking that prayer. God hears it, sends back to the Holy Ghost, who takes it, interprets it, and sends it back to the Father. And that's a good thing. That's above us. That's greater than us. That's a wonderful thing. That's what prayer is about. It's about communication with God. And somebody said, well, I just don't pray like I ought. And you're not living for God. You're living for self. You've got it all figured out, and you've drawn up your list. You've done this, you've done that, but you're not living for God. You know, the hardest people to reach in the church, I've learned this from experience. Let me tell you who they are. They're legalists. They're the hardest people because they will never admit that they've sinned or that they're weak or that they've got a problem or that they need help. They've got their little list drawn up. They keep what they have on their list, but they say to God, this is what it takes to live for the Lord. You don't know what it takes to live for the Lord. God's the only one that can tell us what we need to live for the Lord. And he does that with groanings that cannot be uttered. So do you know what your problem is? Question again. Here you are in the house today. Have you had a tough week of it? I have good weeks and bad weeks. I have good days and bad days. I have days where I literally get angry and stomp around in the house. And I have to get through my bouts of anger, then I get on my knees and I start talking to God and say, Lord, I know you're a gracious, long-suffering God for putting up with me. Amen. Amen. I kick the slats out of my crib, throw my rattler out on the floor, refuse the formula. I say, no! No more formula. I want to pout and cry and carry on as a big baby's hind end. Amen. How many of you have ever carried on like a big baby's hind end? Hey, we all have. Yes, we have. But isn't it wonderful to find out that he's still there when you come down and we quit moping around and quit crying and pouting and showing off in front of people? But he's still there. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I've sure made one out of myself many a time. But God's always been good and he's been faithful. So do you know what your problem is? Do you really do? Do you really know what your problem is? You say, well, I did this, I did. Yeah, but wait, here's the problem. Most preaching today, 99.9% of the preaching today preaches about the deed that's been done and not the source of the problem. And the only way you'll ever know the source of your problem, it's got to come from God. And you got to be willing to listen to him. Here's what he says in 1 John. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Did you hear that? Now, wait a minute, preacher. That means that we're all sinners. Amen. Glad you joined the club. Join it. You're welcome. Come right in. All right. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There's a deception there, isn't there? And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to this. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Two things I want you to see. Number one, that is your state of being, what you are. You're a sinner. The Apostle Paul said, of all the sinners on this earth, I'm chief. Not was chief, am chief. Well, you say, preacher, are you condoning sin? No, not at all. What I'm trying to do is to show you the enemy, show you the problem, and how to deal with it. That's what I'm trying to do, because the Bible says plainly, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. I want you to live. That has nothing to do with your eternal salvation. That has to do with your life on this earth. It has to do with whether you're going to live or not. Are you going to raise your children? Are you going to be there with your grandchildren? God's been good to me, friend. I got a great grandson. Good night. I got a daughter. She's nearly 60 years old. She'll be mad at me when I say that. She's born 69, so you know she's a ways away from 60. But I'm old enough to be everybody's granddaddy. You get to that point, don't you? Certain you do. God's been good to me. Amen. 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 She'll be 54 years old in December, folks. I got enough where I can count and add two to two together. That was just a figure of speech. Amen. That's like I'm so far in debt right now, I'll be 150 before I get it all paid. Well, I'm going to be around at 150. How many of you can break that glass face and smile? It'll be good for you. Amen. Listen carefully. If we say we have no sin, that's our state of being, then we deceive ourselves. That's deception. If we say we have not sinned, that has to do with what we've done, then what happens here? We make him, and who's him? Not the preacher. No. It's the Almighty, folks. Now, I don't think we have anybody in this house today. I don't know. You know. That's going to walk outside and shake your fist and say, you're a liar, and look at God in face. Now, I'm not going to do that. And I hope you got better sense than that, too. I'm not about to do that. But the Bible says that if you say you have not sinned, you make him a liar. So this is a generality. See, these are generalities. So what do you mean by that? All right. What is your problem? Somebody said, well, the problem is sin. I agree. The problem is sin. But let's get more specific. All right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts. What makes it tick? What makes you tick? What's really going on inside you? You take two men, rob a bank. One robs the bank because he's a bank robber. He likes to rob banks. He gets excited from it. The other one robs a bank because he's got a dying daughter, and he needs to pay the bill, medical bill. And that's the only way he can figure out to get the money. The bank gets robbed by both men. They're both bank robbers. But there is a vast difference between the motivation between the two. How many agree with that? Amen. You better believe it. This is not condoning bank robbery. Good night. Don't go out and tell people Preacher Lawson said it's okay to rob banks. I didn't say that at all. Use an illustration. Try to show something. Amen. So, bottom line is, sometimes we see people do the same thing, but the motivation's entirely different. We don't know what's going on. I'll be 78 years old September the 17th. My skin has thinned. How many of you older people, well, that's senior citizens, don't offend anybody. All I got to do is hit this hand against something like that, and the skin tears back. I got two places on it right now. And when I do that, my blood's thin. Why is my blood thin? Because I have a heart condition, all right? It's called atrial fibrillation. I've had it since 12 years ago, 2016. Atrial fibrillation. I've got that, all right? So they give me blood thinner, because when your heart goes into AFib, it is no longer pumping the way it should pump. It's just kind of twitching and so forth, and it throws off blood clots. And a blood clot's bad news. So every week, I check in with people, and I take a test of my own blood and keep it within what's called a therapeutic range, is between 2 and 3. And so I keep my blood thin, all right? So what are you telling us all this for? Well, here's the thing. You'll see me with bandages on my hand. Don't have one right now, but you'll see them. They'll come before this day's over. I may knock a hunk out of my hand. Blood start flying. I carry bandages in my wallet. I put the bandage on there, okay? All right, most preaching today is Band-Aid preaching. Amen. That's all it is, Band-Aid preaching. They just patch you up, make you feel better, you know. Well, you confess this sin, you're okay. But yeah, well, confess that sin, but let's get to the bottom of it. You see, why is my blood thin? Why is my blood thin? Because I've got AFib. Why is my skin thin? Because I'll be 78 years old just a few weeks. See what I mean? How you may follow me this morning. This is the problem. Most preaching doesn't get any further than skin deep. I don't want to leave that with you. I want to give you something that's got more meat on it than that. I want to get you to where you get a hold of God and God gets a hold of you. And if you really want to live for the Lord and find out how to live for the Lord, let the Lord tell you how to live for the Lord. And the Lord's the only one qualified that can really look into your heart and into your soul and tell you what you need. But sometimes he doesn't say it to you in a manner where you understand it. He simply begins to lead you. God's a good God. He's a gracious God. And you know this, dear Christian friend. I don't know how to say this, but simply like this. If the Holy Ghost is living within you, if you have been born of the Spirit of God, you know the Holy Spirit. And there's no substitute for that. And you know what it is to have fellowship with God. You know what it is to have that sweetness in your soul, to know your sins are forgiven, to feel the breath of heaven down upon you. You know that. You know that when your mind begins to think and you renew your mind the way the Bible says, and that mind is renewed in the fellowship of the Lord, you're no longer depressed. You start walking in victory, and you know God's with you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you sense that in other people. And I'll tell you this right now in a heartbeat till the day I leave this world. The greatest connection we have with each other, the most certain way that you're going to know that someone has the Spirit of God, is what they say about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He is to them. It's not how excited they are about the work and excited about the buildings and excited about their call. These all have their place. But the true fellowship, our fellowship, is with the Father and with His Son. We fellowship with each other over the Lord Jesus Christ. I get excited about Him. I love Him. I want His name exalted. Don't see me, look through me and see Christ. That's what matters in this life. So I don't want Band-Aid preaching. It's not going to do you any good. And I can't tell you what's in your soul and what you need, but I can tell you who can do it. And I can tell you. Now I'm going to read Romans chapter number 8 for you. It says, if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Let me give you a confession. I'm going to leave my life in the hands of God. He's going to determine how long I live. I've got about 4 or 5 doctors. I've got a cardiologist, got a urologist, got a family doctor. There's a couple of more, and I just quit going to see them, got tired of it. But the urologist ran me through a bunch of tests a few months ago. They thought, and the way the woman talked, said, you may very well have cancer in your prostate. I went in there, they did all their tests, came out, and it's all benign. Thank God for that. My cardiologist, just a few weeks ago, did another ablation. I've had 5 ablations done on my heart. Four hour episode. And what happens with that? I don't know if you want to hear all this or not, but it's, you know, this is what happens when you get old, feeble, bald-headed, and senile, and you start falling apart. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. I'll be 78 years old in a few weeks. A lot of people don't make it this long. They don't make it this long. My life is in His hands. Are you listening to me? My life's in His hands. God's going to determine how long I live in this world. So what am I going to do? I'm going to live for Him by the grace of God, and I'm going to listen to Him by the grace of God. And I want Him to guide my life. I want my life to glorify God. And I know better after all these years at this, I know better that it's not in my power to know what I need. I need Him. I need Him communicating with me. Say, why? Here's what's important to me. I'll be leaving here. I don't know when. Maybe the Lord will come back before I leave. If He does, that's good. Whether that or not, it makes no difference. It really doesn't make any difference to me, one way or the other. But I want, until the day I draw my last breath on this earth, I want my witness and my testimony to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I finished my course, I want Him to come and get me and take me and leave this world behind. That's what I want. Amen. Do you want that?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to ask you a question. I'll come to a close. You're going to take this home with you this afternoon. I want you to think about it. What was Abraham's problem? You say, preacher, I thought you'd give us the answer. No, I'm going to make you think. What was his problem? It's so quiet in here. I love it when it gets quiet. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But there was a reason he lied. There was a fear in there. There was a reason he lied. And only God knows what that reason was. But it would be good to dig into it, pray over it, and see what you find. What was God's problem? What was Abraham's problem? Father, bless your word. Thank you for the time in your house. I hope I made my point, Lord. I hope people got a hold of it. If nothing else, they got this, that we are absolutely incapable of knowing what it takes to live for you, that it must come from you, and it must come by fellowship and communication. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brother, what have we got?
Number 81.